Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. 27 to 6 on your Tuesday morning. Andrew Basil with you on the Breakfast Bite as we run you through all the latest in the world of racing and sport. And let's start with the footy world, where Jake Stringer yesterday avoided what could have been, or what was being reported as a fairly long-term injury.
Yeah, it's just bruising, so it'll be all good. Don't remember an incident, just got sore during the game, so... But yeah, we're all good. Everything's all right. I was pretty confident going in that it was all right, so yeah, it's good.
Speaking of injuries, John Longmire spoke about a setback for Daniel Menzel, someone the Swans desperately need.
A slight setback with his groin, but not too significant. It actually feels really good today. We expect him to be back training within 2 weeks and then a couple of weeks training after that before he plays.
And there was a bit of focus on the D's yesterday after their poor loss to Port Adelaide over the weekend. Max Gawn was not blaming the extra attention that he received for poor performance.
It doesn't really bother me. I had it pretty much all 25 games last year as well. Probably a little bit more intensified on the weekend, but I'm happy to have zero impact and zero touches a game if we win. So it was disappointing how I played, but it wasn't necessarily because of the barrage.
Some great tennis action from overseas, plus NBA, golf, NRL, and all your footy news coming your way on RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Huge show coming up after 6 o'clock this morning. Half, Whitey and BJ are in for your Tuesday morning. We'll head over to Boston nice and early as well to chat about the retirement of Rob Gronkowski just at the age of just 29. So a bit of a surprise there for the New England Patriots. He's been such a key to their success with Tom Brady over the past decade. We'll head to Boston early. Then we've got the early mail for you. Hopefully you get a winner to start your Tuesday nicely. That just before 7 o'clock. Looking forward to catching up with Matt Ryan, English Premier League goalkeeper for Brighton and Hove Albion. And he's a Socceroo veteran now, one of the most capped Socceroos in the squad at the moment. We'll talk about life in the EPL with him. Scott Gallen's in with all the latest footy news, and then a huge last 45 minutes of the show coming up. Bryce Gibbs with you for Around the Grounds. He will be our Adelaide man this year. We'll chat to him every couple of weeks, and they had a disappointing loss over the weekend. And then Marcus Bontempelli in the studio from 8 o'clock this morning for the Inner Sanctum. Can't wait to hear what the Bont had to say. He was the star of the show on Saturday night at Marvel as the Dogs held off a fast-finishing Sydney outfit. Let's start the Breakfast Bite with all the footy news, and we'll start with the losers first of all. Nathan Jones speaking here yesterday outside D's training on their effort over the weekend, and he didn't hold back.
There's stuff I would like to take back in the game for sure. I dropped a pretty simple mark that I would normally take. I was embarrassed about that, but shit happens, to be honest. Soul searching. This is it's all doom and gloom, isn't it? It's pretty funny that after one loss that could be suggested. But look, there's no doubt we haven't played our best footy this year, really.
I think we have to get back to playing a pretty physical brand of footy. I think that's what our reputation was built off last year. And to be frank, I don't think we're playing at that level yet. And I think that'll burn a lot of players inside, but hopefully inspires the reaction that our fans will want to see, and obviously inspire us to play the footy that we want to play.
We've all said and acknowledged multiple times that we didn't play our best or close to it, and we've got a bit of work to do, and we'll own that. We're under no illusions that our best footy is bloody good, and we're capable of that.
Nathan Jones speaking there. Pretty frank yesterday outside Melbourne training. Let's head to Dyson Heppel now, a captain at Essendon. He says they don't expect to have another bad game like they did on the weekend against GWS. Take a listen.
Obviously, when you do implement new systems, it does take time, but I felt we were certainly in a position. We've improved from when we rolled this out day one of pre-season to where we are now. And to be honest, it's not a massive shift from the way we played last year. So certainly surprised that we haven't clicked the way we would have liked. But when you do implement new things, it takes time. And eventually it's going to click for us, and it will. And I know we're not going to perform like that again. Extremely disappointed. Certainly came into that game feeling we were prepared and ready. Obviously not, that's far from what we're all about. didn't show up the way we would have liked, and you know, we got to look at that closely. We can't just sweep that under the rug, and it's going to take a little bit to move on from that. You got to have a close look at where we did fall apart. I think it's been mentioned, it was a bit of shock. It's like, that's not the way we go about our footy. What's just happened there? Just having a bit of a look at the game and, on the plane on the way home, and there's a few efforts there that you go, that's just not us. It's not the way, we want to play our footy, and we don't stand for that.
Dyson Heppel speaking yesterday at Essendon training. Let's finish the footy news for the time being with Matthew Lloyd, who was very scathing of his old side. This audio courtesy of AFL.com.au yesterday.
We can't just say it's round one and these things happen and they might bounce back. They may well, but this is a real worrying signs for the Bombers. This isn't just 1 week. I'm looking at across a month. The JLT, they were poor against Carlton, lacked energy, lacked passion. Then against Geelong, really, really poor. Dyson Heppel comes out on the eve of round one and says, just got to get some energy back. That raised alarm bells for me. They could not have played worse. And I don't care what tactics Ben Rutten or John Worsfold have. If you don't not have passion, care for each other and hardness at the contest, you go nowhere. And I've got grave concerns for where they're at. If they don't come out breathing fire against St Kilda this week, there's cultural issues at Essendon because there's something wrong if you can't compete hard in round one.
More fallout from what was an intriguing round one to come on RSN 927's Breakfast. But we'll hear from a couple of the key coaches, Alistair Clarkson and Damien Hardwick, in about 10 minutes' time. First, to get to the rest of the sport from yesterday, we'll start with the NRL, where surface issues have been a problem there as well. Brett Morris, at his new home, was injured on the weekend at Brookvale. Let's have a listen to what he had to say. He's going to be out for 6 or 7 weeks.
There's a bit of ligament damage there, so at this stage it'll probably be a couple of weeks on the sideline. So obviously it's up to the rehab now and trying to get back as quick as possible.
Are you angry about the ground condition?
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't, to be honest. It was the first time it happened to me. I'd probably, brush it off, but I've been to Brookvale twice now and my knee's dug in and I've had an injury as a result. As a player, you work so hard to week in, week out to get out there and to have sort of this happen as a result of the ground, it is frustrating. Don't get me wrong, I love going out and playing at suburban grounds. I'm a country boy and any chance that happens, I love that sort of stuff. But, it's frustrating that this happened as a result of the surface.
Brett Morris speaking yesterday. We'll hear from Brett Murphy from the AFLPA on the AFL's issues with surfaces a little later on in the Breakfast Bite. Now, though, to Robbie Farah from West Tigers. He's had a hot start to this year, which was supposed to be his last, but maybe retirement at the end of the year is crossing his mind and he might be playing again next year.
I never thought I'd be back in this position, back at the Tigers and playing good footy and winning footy games, and kind of stuff to pinch myself every day and... I'm just grateful for the opportunity I've got at the moment, and you're right. Self-doubt did creep in a lot when I going through those tough times at the Tigers, but there were times where I wanted to quit, and a lot of close friends and family told me to just keep persevering. And I guess you make your own luck in footy if you just hang in there and work hard. And I've just been fortunate; I've had a bit of luck come my way, and things are going pretty well at the moment.
There we go, Robbie Farah speaking last night on Fox Sports. To the tennis world, where Nick Kyrgios won in straight sets yesterday, 6-3, 6-1, to make the round of 16 at the Miami Open. That doesn't really explain things, though. He had half a blue with a bloke sitting in about the third row in the crowd. Fair to say it got fairly heated on court between Kyrgios and the spectator, and he was able to overcome it. Anyway, take a listen.
Crazy good right now from the Australian. He's still having a go, the guy behind him. I kind of hope that he gets thrown out because we all know Nick is going to react, but this guy is just not letting it go right now.
Yeah, this potential to become a little bit unsavoury, I think.
This is all getting a bit pathetic now, and I think someone is just chatting to the guy in the crowd. He should really be escorted out.
Well, at least moved elsewhere. I mean, they are pretty expensive seats he's obviously invested in, but this is not what we want to see.
Well, what's incredible about this is that with all that's going on in the background, Nick Kyrgios is still playing at such a high level. He breaks again and will now serve for the first set after just 23 minutes.
We talked about that title in Acapulco. He was engaging, shall we say, with the crowd there as well.
Yeah, he is being escorted out now. The guy behind him. Well, they're trying to anyway. Yeah. And Kyrgios waves him goodbye. Has to do a lot of the fans around him as well. Yeah, the wife stays.
It definitely was Entertainment Plus yesterday as Nick Kyrgios ran out a straight sets winner. He's through to the round of 16. Some good news just coming through as well. Jordan Thompson defeating Grigor Dimitrov 7-5, 7-5 late yesterday. That was a sensational win for the Aussie. So nice to see him and Kyrgios through to the next round in Miami. We'll keep you updated with their progress throughout the week. On the women's side of things, Ash Barty, she got through over Kiki Bertens, which is a nice win. She's the 12th seed, Ash, and Burton's the 7th seed. 4-6, 6-3, 6-2. So she's now through to the quarterfinals at the Miami Open. So the Aussies going deep, which is good to see. Let's hear from Nick Kyrgios after what was an eventful afternoon or evening.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's a tough competitor. I've played him one time before. I knew it was going to be a tough battle, but I think just the crowd and the atmosphere, and, you know, this is one of my favourite tournaments. And, you know, I love coming here and just putting on a show and competing. You know, I really enjoyed myself tonight.
Yeah, I know you're more of an NBA fan than an NFL fan, but what is it like playing in this arena? You seem to sort of bring out your inner Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson rolled into one out there tonight.
I mean, you know, I mean, just to have some of the best athletes in the world competing in this stadium, and then, you know, some of the best tennis players in the world, you know, I'm just a small part of it. You know, I'm so incredibly blessed. And, you know, it's just amazing to come out here and just to put on a performance like that. You know, I wasn't expecting to play that well. I haven't been playing that well at that level. You know, for last week I didn't play so good, so I'm really happy with the way I performed tonight.
We don't know if it's going to be Shardy or Chorich yet in the next round, but I guess playing like that, it doesn't really matter who you're going to face, does it?
Yes and no. It just depends on the matchup. You know, matchups make fights. You know, Chorich is an unbelievable competitor. He makes an abundance of balls, so I know it's going to be incredibly tough. And Shardy's, you know, one of the best 1-2 players in the game, so I'm not even going to think about it. I've got a day off tomorrow, I think. So I'm just going to rest up.
Nick Kyrgios speaking last night in the US. After that win, let's head to the golfing world now, where Paul Casey on the Valspar again.
Paul Casey is going to be the champion again at the Valspar. Back to back.
Sensational effort considering he broke through after a long drought only 12 months ago, and then he's won essentially the same tournament twice in a row, two times within the space of 12 months. 8 under the card he finished, 1 over through his final round, able to hold on from Louis Oosthuizen and Jason Kokrak at 7 under. The best of the Australians was Matt Jones, who finished in 13th, as well as Curtis Luck. They went 1 over and 2 over, respectively, in their final rounds. Let's take a listen now to Paul Casey after the win.
How difficult is it to win out here against the best players?
Obviously, I'm finding it easier. Although today wasn't easy, but I felt very different. I mean, since winning last year, last year's win was so big. That felt like my first victory as a professional. But I felt so different since then. New confidence. I'm getting older, but I feel like I'm getting better. Great playing with Dustin. He's a gentleman. I know he didn't play the way he wanted to, but this is so cool. I'm so happy. This Valspar is such an awesome sponsor, and to come back here and defend, it means I don't need to change the caddy bib for next year either.
Paul Casey speaking yesterday. Let's finish the wrap of the other sports before we get back to the footy world with a little bit of NBA. Andrew Bogut came off the bench yesterday to help Golden State Warriors, secure victory.
Making him a volume shooter, it's 4 of 11. Look at Bogut handle. Bogut on Drummond. Bogut with the right hand!
121 to 114 over Detroit yesterday. The Lakers beat the Kings. The Spurs beat the Celtics. So the Celtics, a couple of Aussies in action there with Patty Mills and Aaron Baines for the Celtics. The Rockets beat the Pelicans. Hornets over the Raptors. Pacers beat the Nuggets. Bucks beat the Cavs. And the Clippers beat the Knicks. That's a full wrap of the NBA action from yesterday. Ben Simmons in action about 10 a.m. today as the 76ers take on the Magic. After this, we'll be back with all the rest of the footy news, including what Richmond are going to do with the mid-season draft, rather, and whether they'll be pulling the trigger to get a replacement for Alex Rance. It's 12 to 6.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
We feel in that position, we've got enough depth at the moment, enough young talent coming through. So once again, that'll be a decision that goes along the way. It's funny, you know, if it happened 7 days earlier, we'd probably get the opportunity to bring in another player. And we would if we? Well, yeah, not too sure. We spoke about, obviously, the loss of Alex. And Alex is irreplaceable, let's be honest. You know, we cannot replace. He's that good a player that you just can't slot another player in. And then we sort of spoke as a group. It's up to 22 of us to fulfil the role of him. We're not expecting one player to come in and be able to get close to what that player can represent. And, you know, it's an opportunity for us as a team to find another way. You know, it's an opportunity for us to find another player. And, you know, we've all gone through it and we'll go through it again at some stage, no doubt.
Damien Hardwick there speaking last night on Fox Footy about a potential replacement for Alex Rance. So maybe they won't be pulling the trigger in the mid-season draft. Welcome back to the Breakfast Bite at 9 to 6. Don't forget, after 6 o'clock this morning, Half Whitey and BJ will be back amongst the guests this morning on the show. Marcus Bontempelli in the Inner Sanctum after 8 o'clock this morning. Bryce Gibbs will join us for Around the Grounds from Adelaide. Scotty Gallen with all the latest footy news. And Matt Ryan, the Socceroo goalkeeper, who's having a hell of a time over in the English Premier League at the moment. Even being linked with some of the biggest clubs in the world. That is his reputation at the moment. Let's head to Brett Murphy now from the AFLPA. He defended the turf at Marvel that looked like a golf tee box.
Had a few phone calls today, interestingly from the players who played at the ground. They were generally pretty happy with the ground. It was a lot softer than normal, which has been a concern in previous years. I've had calls from other players who clearly saw what occurred with the turf coming up at various times, and they've expressed concerns, and that's why we're looking into it. The AFL will tear up a piece of the ground and replace it either tomorrow or Wednesday. We don't want any players to get injured as a result of the surface, and so that's why we're out there today looking at it with the AFL. We'll inspect it again after the turf's relayed on Wednesday and make sure that it's safe to be played.
Brett Murphy speaking there yesterday. Unsavoury incidents as well on social media again, with some vile racist abuse directed towards Liam Ryan. Brett Murphy also addressed that.
It's incredibly disappointing that we're in the same situation week after week, it seems, at the moment. Is there anything that we can do? I think we need to have a broader conversation as an industry and as a society with regards to this type of conduct. It's totally unacceptable for a player to be playing in their workplace, going about their job, and to be subjected to such horrible comments. So we do need to do everything we can to stamp it out.
Trevor Nisbet said yesterday, he is the CEO of West Coast, of course, that the onus needs to be on the social media companies themselves.
They're just despicable in this day and age. It's an unbelievable occurrence that we thought we were getting through to a small minority of people who continue to do it, but obviously it's not working. But it's abhorrent behaviour and very ignorant behaviour when this is occurring on a consistent basis with comments about Liam Ryan. What we stand for is that we want to stamp this sort of rubbish out, and it's absolute garbage what these people say, and we can't again reiterate more how disappointed we are that these comments continue. And one of the great things about our game is that our Indigenous players are some of the best in the business and probably the most exciting to watch. And we should be accepting of that and their personal lives and what they stand for. And we're just not going to keep tolerating these pests who keep making these sort of stupid statements. I don't think the responsibility is taken far enough, and the agencies and social media need to address it.
Yeah, extraordinary to consider that happened after the events of last week. Let's get to a few good news stories, and we'll start with the Brisbane Lions. Hugh McCluggage yesterday spoke about Brisbane and the fact that they should be embracing the expectation that now lies with them after a great win against the defending premiers.
I think we've got to embrace it to an extent. I think you can't read into it too much. As I said, it's only round one. We haven't probably had those expectations for a long time now, and it's a little bit different for us, so we're going to have to learn how to deal with it. But at the same time, it gives us great confidence that and belief that we can, you know, play well against the best sides.
To Alistair Clarkson now last night, he was speaking about a couple of main issues in the game. First of all, he reckons there was a bit of an overreaction with clearing the ground of runners. Take a listen.
I reckon there's been an overreaction, and Hawk won't like me saying this, but I reckon there's been an overreaction to this push to get to clear the game up. Trainers, and now we've got issues with water, apparently. Right. You know, doctors have now got to sit actually in the box where now they can't see clearly because of the amount of interchanges going on in front of them. All doctors and physios used to sit just out to the side in front of the fence, but they've now been instructed they've got to get inside the box. And now you've got a safety issue. The doctors actually need to be seeing the game. They need to see the types of injuries. What happened to Alex Rance? How did he do his knee? Has he done his knee? And they've got to be making calls. And if they can... Yeah, I just think there's been an overreaction to try to clear the game of people. You can nearly have... You've got four blokes that can go out there and hold the banner up at quarter time, and you're only allowed six coaches on the ground itself. We'll be employing coaches to be banner boys next.
Alistair Clarkson on Channel 7 last night. He also spoke about the players possibly having too much power in the game now.
Oh, it's an interesting debate. I was actually part of the Players Association when we had a significant push to actually try to get a little bit more say in the game. I think there always can be an overreaction sometimes to these sorts of things. And I think we've just got to try and get the balance. We're all key stakeholders of the game. It seems to me right at the present time that the stakeholders and the players is perhaps a little bit higher than some of the other more significant stakeholders in the game, and that we've just got to get the balance right.
To Brendan Bolton now, who was on Channel 9 last night, he wouldn't put a figure on a pass mark for the Blues in 2019.
I know you want me to put a number on it, and I'm not going to be dismissive of it because we want to improve and improve rapidly. The biggest thing with us is that we work collectively, that every action on the ground in team defence is helping somebody else, that we're all linked up in team defence. We're not defending on our own. Success will look like growth in that part of the game. We're looking to grow on wins, there's no doubt about that. But we're trying to make sure that they do it together, not on their own. And when you're under pressure, sometimes you can go onto your own. So we've had that us, not me mentality, and that's going to be the focus. Also, without putting a number on it, you're not putting a ceiling on this young group. Right now, this week against Port, we want them so narrow. That game, that quarter, that contest is so important. And if they focus like that, I think improvement will happen. So it's all about being connected and focusing really narrowly on each game.
And there was also a spirited defence of Charlie Kerner, who's copped a little bit of criticism after his first round performance.
Not in intensity or effort, like he's winning some of our time trials and right in the top three or four. Charlie's a very proud person. On the weekend, he got into the contest, which was a great sign, but he was a little bit fumbly, double-touched. He'll work incredibly hard and bounce back, I'm sure.
And let's finish with David Zaharakis. He said yesterday that the Bombers need to improve defensively quickly.
It showed defensively we weren't on the same page yesterday, and that's what we want to do. We want everyone to be on the same page and playing the same way. And it was just disappointing that we just couldn't get that right yesterday.
That's it for the Breakfast Bite on your Tuesday morning. Half Whitey and BJ coming up after the 6 o'clock news. Lots to get through on a very busy Tuesday. Marcus Bontempelli will be in the Inner Sanctum from the Western Bulldogs after 8 o'clock this morning. We'll head around the grounds with Bryce Gibbs and get all the fallout from Adelaide's loss on the weekend, plus the reaction to the Powers' surprise win at the MCG. Scott Gallen will be in from the Herald Sun with all the latest footy news. I'm sure we'll discuss all the MRO fines from yesterday. Matt Ryan from Brighton and Hove Albion, English Premier League goalkeeper and Socceroos man between the sticks. He'll be with us after 7 o'clock this morning. And early on, we're going to head to Boston to get the latest on Rob Gronkowski, who announced his retirement yesterday. Plus, we'll try and get your winner on the early mail to start your week off nicely on a Tuesday. Lots to get through. Make sure you stay tuned after the 6 o'clock news.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.